You're listening to the 405 Exchange. My name is Ken Grandpierre, and today's episode is with The Joy Formidable. They're one of the best live bands in the world, and it's damn great to have them back. On September 28th, they'll be releasing their fourth studio album, ARF. The album showcases the continuous growth of the Welsh trio and is truly their most creative body of work yet. To find out how the album came to be, I chatted with both Ritzy and Ridian about the journey of ARF and why being in The Joy Formidable is such a different beast than what it was just a few years ago, and why they can't wait to go out there and take on the world once more. This is the 405 Exchange with The Joy Formidable. Enjoy. So I mean this in all honesty, but your band is one of my favorite bands to see live. I've seen you guys, I mentioned before I hit the recorder, I've seen you guys loads of times, and way back into a balloon called Moaning Days. And I mean, when you hear that, does it feel crazy for you to think about how much time has passed?
I think it's been maybe a decade. The amazing thing is, on one side, it feels a lot less. It kind of sometimes, like the days of living in London and the band just starting, kind of feels like yesterday. You know, I don't, sometimes I look back and I can't even believe that it's been like nearly 10 years that we've, you know, been doing this. And on other days, it feels like 100 years. My body feels sometimes like it's been 100 years.
We've definitely been through a lot together, but it's a journey, and we're, the key thing for us is that we still have the spirit, and we still love making music, and that kind of sometimes can be separate to kind of the music industry, because there's so many things about the industry that can really kill your desire if you're not careful. But no, we, you know, as soon as we get on that stage and play together, it's like, yep, this is why we're here, you know?
Yeah, I totally get that. I'm glad you said that, because my next question was going to be about like how your last album, Hitch, was such a different experience for the band, not just in how you made and toured it, but how you also promoted it. And I think you guys did it through, was it Pledge Music, I believe?
Not the last one, no. The last one was in the US.
Caroline. And in Europe, it was Membrane.
In the Membrane.
Oh. Yeah, we had a few difficulties with the last one, to be completely honest with you. Like, the thing that disappointed us the most was, like, you know, the fans have been the most important thing to us, really. We're very close to our fan base, you know, and always want that connection and not having too many middlemen. And it ended up, we were having a lot of problems the last one. People were getting their vinyl like a year late and things like that. So we're glad to say that that isn't the case with this record, you know. But sorry, I forgot what you were going to say about the last record now.
No, it's okay. You kind of alluded to it, because I was just curious, how do you feel the experience of making and touring that album and even just putting it out? How do you feel that probably changed the band, or where was the band after going through all of that?
I think the actual making of it was a really kind of, I don't know, I'm going to look back, I think, in years to come, and that's probably going to be one of my favourite memories in terms of the recording sessions, because it was very honest to our live performance. We were in a set up in North Wales, kind of living together, tape running, you know. It was a real kind of a rediscovering of, you know, the beginnings of this band, and spending a lot of time in rehearsal rooms, and in terms of the material that came out of those sessions, you know, I look back, I think, you know, they so many memories, so poignant. That's such a sad record, Hitch, in a lot of ways. And you know, so the actual making of it felt like this really kind of real, true kind of period in our lives. The aftermath of, I suppose we alluded it to a minute ago, in terms of actually releasing, and some of the disappointment that comes with that, because frankly, you know, we've we put out our own releases, and we've, you know, put a lot of care and attention into the way that we release things. I don't think people understand how easy it is for things to sometimes run away with you. All the love and attention and the diligence and the late nights and having a lot of heads on, not just your creative head, having a lot of heads on, and things can still kind of run away with you in terms of like the way that you can lose control sometimes through a label or through certain members of a team who should all be pulling in the same direction. And I don't know, you know, I hadn't really experienced anything on the scope of that before, and definitely the very final aftermath, which I won't go into because my lawyer will be sweating his arse off, but the final fucking cherry on top was a good final lesson, if you like. You know, the boot camp of releasing music, I thought we'd fucking seen and done it all, and the final kick in the arse was a good one. So definitely coming out of that, you know, it's easy not to feel disillusioned. And like Ridgeon said, the only thing sometimes that drives you is the fans that we have and the fucking music that we're making and the bond that we have, you know.
I think as well, you know, like 10 years in, I think that's to be celebrated for one thing. And secondly, I think we've seen the climate change as well. You know, I kind of really feel sad for bands, especially working class artists, now and how they can just sustain themselves, you know, especially after a first record, because, you know, the media machine likes to push this whole thing that you're only relevant on your first thing, but of course all it is really is you know, chucking the whole machine along, really. There's people doing their most relevant work 10 albums in, of course there is, there always has been, you know. But yeah, anyway, like, that's divulging a bit, but, you know, what I'm saying is we've seen a lot in 10 years, not just in terms of our personal lives, but also in terms of, like, you know, music and the climate and how people can survive now, you know. I definitely think we need to have an open discussion about that, because I do feel it's unsustainable in some places, you know. Like I say, especially for people who don't have the bank of whoever it is to fall back on, you know. And they're doing great stuff.
Yeah, and you guys have actually been really good at with that, particularly with, I mean, I was going to ask you this later on, but this would be a good time to bring it up. There was a single series that you guys did a while back where you were very good on showcasing acts from your native Wales. And I really do love the fact that you were shining a light with people and on people who are like, you know, the light isn't always shown on them. And I could tell it's very important for you. What was that experience like? That was a very beautiful thing you guys did.
Oh, thank you. I mean, there's a lot of talent, you know, when you start looking in Wales. And I think maybe we, you know, obviously being from North Wales, I think we kind of understand if you come from anywhere that's quite rural and a little bit out the way, you know, sometimes it's not impossible, but it can definitely be kind of tricky sometimes to get people to go to shows and kind of creating enough kind of venues or festivals for up-and-coming bands to kind of wet their feet. And I think we definitely felt that starting off. Obviously, you can share your music through lots of different ways these days, and that's the big pro of, like, you know, online and social media, that you can reach a much bigger audience. But in terms of actually, like, the craft of, you know, getting out there or releasing records or whatever, so I think it was just our little, you know, like, tiny little giving back. And we're still doing it as well. We've got another one coming up at the end of the year. Just a kind of a nod that the collaborative spirit, I think, amongst musicians is a really important thing. We've had moments where, you know, we've kind of really needed it. We've been championed or brought on tour by different bands. And, I think that's just a little tiny something that we wanted to kind of do back. And especially given the wealth of talent that's actually coming out of Wales. There's a lot of great bands and some great festivals growing, and certainly over the last decade, you know, there's a lot more stuff going on, and we wanted to kind of be a part of some of that growth.
That's beautiful. I really do love that. You know, one of the things I imagine as a songwriter, and particularly like as a band, because one thing that really interests me about the Joy Formidable is how all three of you, the way you communicate, I've noticed throughout the years, it's been so much of like as a family more than anything else. I'm curious in regards to both functioning as a band and as a songwriter. I mean, you're always writing songs. When did you realize that writing for this new album began?
Well, it started about started about 18 months ago, and it was a strange little flicker of difference right at the very beginning of making this record. Because for the first time, I don't know about Riz, but I definitely felt a little bit blocked somehow, you know, in terms of from the songwriting perspective, which is kind of quite unusual because, like you said, we've always been kind of quite prolific, and we've always written a lot wherever we are, you know, on the road. But I don't know if it was just like a build-up of events or some sort of a reaction to something where, like, all of a sudden it just felt like kind of like all the songwriting was momentarily drained. And, you know, he's going to laugh at me now after that. You know, kind of trying to keep a cool head with that sort of stuff is important, because there's no point fucking panicking and thinking that you've lost your mojo. But there's definitely like a moment of thinking like, wow, is this grounded down, that there's actually like, you know, your identity is actually being changed, but you know, this can't actually do this thing that's so natural, has been so natural to you your entire life from being tiny, really. So I think actually once we kind of overcame that, and I can't really kind of pinpoint exactly what turned that around, I think it was a combination of things, but you know, once we kind of got back on the old bike, you know, that was almost something to be even more celebrated. You know, it was like I don't know, maybe like a bit of a rejuvenation, like finally I don't know, not taking it for granted, like fucking seeing things in color again, you know, all that kind of element that maybe came from like feeling a little bit like things were fucked at the beginning in terms of the songwriting.
I love hearing that.
You know.
Oh, sorry, please. Oh, no, you, please. I was just saying that I loved hearing that.
Yeah, I mean, we're always writing anyway, and I think that's the key thing for us. It doesn't feel like, okay, here's the project now, let's just get inspired. I think you often get inspiration when you're kind of just in a flow and you're not really thinking about things, you're just doing it. You know, it's a lifestyle choice, isn't it? It's really constantly living and breathing it. But I think, like Richie was saying about that, with this record, I definitely feel like it's a different chapter. And yeah, it did take a minute to make sense out of it. And along with maybe Happy and Shaken by, without going into it too much, some of the bullshit, there was also some personal stuff. I think we had, again, without going into it too much, there were some traumatic things that happened. And also, I think from Richie as a writer, maybe to be defined to some degree by a lot of anger for about 10 years because of personal circumstances. And I think this is a new found voice, because you can take that energy to somewhere else, you know, as opposed to it beating you and being embittered, you know. And that's the thing, I think it kind of felt like we rediscovered music again, you know.
Mm-hmm. I think that definitely, that on the subject of anger, I mean, I think having fire and anger could be a wonderful thing in music. I mean, I think it's, you know, driven us on some level, definitely driven that into that passion, that emotive element, the way it drives the live performance. But sometimes when you step back from that and you realise maybe it's kind of twisting you on some level as well, it's maybe not always the best thing to live with, you know. I think there's definitely been Richard was saying, yeah, it's like a rechanneling of that, you know, still having drive and focus and fire and fucking smear and everything. But maybe, you know, when you're alone, you're not, you know,
Yeah, because that energy is a powerful thing, and you know, you don't want it to beat you. You want to, you know, it's kind of like an album of healing in many ways. But I think it's important to say that it isn't in a kind of, hey, we've found peace and everything's all lovey-dovey. It's not like that. It's just about channeling energy, I think, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that, you know, it was really a privilege getting to listen to not just listen to the album, but to live with it and experience it. And one of the things I latched onto quite a bit, and it's interesting, Ritzy, because one of the words you said earlier on really highlights how I feel about the whole album as a whole. it's such a colorful album. There's so much experimentation going on. You guys really do sound rejuvenated more than anything else. I mean, like, I think even a good example is just, like, the song that starts the album. I mean, you're singing in Welsh, and just, I could tell that there's, like, this, like, sense of being comfortable, yet in the face of something. Like, that's what's coming across. And meanwhile, there's so many different shades and tones on the album. I mean, does it feel good knowing that there's so many different emotional elements and high points within your body of work like that? Because that's a really special thing to achieve.
Yeah, I think, you know, I suppose that's the thing we found difficult about music, that it's always been there, this whole thing of pigeonholing and, like, and making it just one-dimensional, you know. Okay, we're a great album, we're three people, we've always felt, like, free to kind of do whatever we want to do. We never want to feel like, you know, this is a Joyce Medical record, this is what you'll get. We're just going to do what's natural to us. And with that, I think, comes, like, you know, the breadth and scope, and we like all kinds of music. And so we always feel like, A, challenge yourself, you know, but also the notion of what is being in the rock band, you know, like, we've always done releases on the side as well, like that range from, I don't know, atmospheric, minimal stuff, acoustic, piano, bass, you know, some really heavy stuff, some progressive stuff, whatever, you know. So yeah, we absolutely enjoy the way you can go with, especially on an album, because it obviously gives you the space to do that, and we shouldn't forget that, you know, and with all this culture of, like, now, you know.
Yeah. Ritzy, anything you'd like to add?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch that.
Oh, I was just saying, is there anything you'd like to add to that, bit?
Oh, what Regan just said?
Yeah.
I totally feel that. I think that's one of the things that you have to step away from is feeling kind of brave. I mean, I grew up listening to a lot of artists that were kind of musical chameleons in themselves, that they, you know, that their fans kind of stuck with them, whether or not, you know, every single fan was in love with every single record, but there was certainly that admiration that, like, this is a fucking artist who knows their own mind, that isn't, like, just bending with the climate or bending with the sound of the moment, and is doing exactly what they do, which is obviously, you know, that's the point of art and the spirit of rock and roll, you know. So I guess we don't really overthink any, you know, the records that we make. I think they come from a really kind of they come from just the moment, being in the moment, what is actually influencing that moment, how are we feeling, and that kind of drives the palette, it kind of drives the approach of how we kind of start making a record, not too consciously, you know, things aren't restricted either or bound by anything, but, you know, we kind of are always kind of following our lead, and, you know, and also there's three people in this band as well. So it's like, you know, there's definitely twists and turns, and especially from a songwriting point of view, there's two, you know, Regan and I are kind of like the main songwriters, and a lot of the time I think we're very, very, you know, bound. We're very intuitive with each other. Like we kind of know what feels good, and we can go back and forth quickly on things. But there's other times when we're fucking, you know, completely on opposite poles, which I kind of think is part of the magic. So I guess that is one of the things that has, you know, in some ways, you know, driven every Joy Formidable album. It's not like just the vision of one person, it's the vision of bringing kind of three visions to life, especially two major songwriters. And I mean, that's what makes us the way that we are, you know. And that's like, you know, the truth in it all, but neither one of us is bending over to just, you know, bending towards one specific approach, really.
Yeah, we always want to feel like every album brings a different shade of what we are as people, as writers, you know. People are dynamic things, you know. So we with this record, I think in terms of lyrically, it's a lot more subliminal. There's a lot of dream sequences, you know, whereas before there's been maybe a bit more narrative. And I think we wanted to really celebrate and have fun with the guitar again and what it's possible, you know, what you can do with it, and not be scared of just fucking around with it, even in post, you know, and coming up with all kinds of sounds we were hearing in our heads, as opposed to Hitch, like what you were saying, was very much like a purist approach. You're just capturing what we were doing in performance. So yeah, we really enjoyed like challenging ourselves with a different approach, you know. But it came naturally. I don't think we kind of pushed that too much.
Yeah, and I think that definitely comes across. One of the big things I wanted to ask about was your latest song, The Wrong Side. I love how this track is both what I'd expect from the band while also being a completely wonky experiment of a tune. I mean, was making this tune as much fun as it is to listen to? Because it is a very fun song to listen to.
I think definitely, like, the musical element of it, like I said, that the kind of the experimentation, you know, the sounds, you know, these layers kind of coming in and out and kind of keeping you on your toes. I think that element was really fun. The lyrical side of it is quite, you know, quite specific for, you know, on this record. It was definitely kind of quite collagey, the lyrics. They were kind of written over a period of time, kind of like lots of memories and little snapshots of things. But, you know, some of those are kind of like less fun, I suppose, because obviously the track talks about division. And, you know, the fact that, you know, the bottom line is that, you know, the best diet is just being kind and compassionate, you know, that that's the really the thing that we should be focusing on, you know, agree, you know, whether or not we agree or not, but, you know, we should never forget to be kind and loving and compassionate in life. So some of that was born from, like I said, just a lot of chaos and things going on that, you know, it's still going on now, I suppose. It's like, you know, so it's born from something that's lyrically that's kind of a little bit more unstable and chaotic and sometimes not very nice to hear or feel or wonder what, you know, every piece of news brings or every next day brings. But obviously, the message, you know, there's like a very, very fucking simple message that, you know, that, you know, in the,
Yeah, don't let the past divide you, you know?
Yeah.
That's what, there's a lot of that going on, isn't it? Genders and identity politics and all kinds. And it's not just talking about politics, no. There's also personal stuff in there. But I wouldn't say, like, it's purely happy. I think we enjoyed the energy, though. You know, that kind of when you're riding the wave of energy, you know, but you know that it has moments of danger as well. It's not all like, you know, the hey, this is great, you know?
Yeah, true. Like, there's, like, high points and low points. Similar almost like to... I mean, I've never surfed before, but I imagine it's kind of like how it feels of surfing. You're aware of the dangers around you, in a sense.
Oh, yeah. It's funny that you mentioned surfing, because sometimes when I used to hear that song back, I sometimes used to think of surfing. It's funny how some songs end up becoming, like, having, like, little visual cues. Like, you know, when we were writing the Dance of the Lotus, like, you know, just... very honestly, just, you know, used to recall being outside at night in the dark under this big Utah sky, and the way that the light used to fall, the moonlight used to fall on the tree, you know, that was kind of all the kind of, you know, when you listen to the song and close your eyes, that's what. But yeah, you're right, The Wrong Side, sometimes I do feel like it's almost like falling off a bike or unstable on a surfboard.
That should have been the cover of the single instead, which is surfing.
Honestly, I'll never surf again. I'm lucky that I can still play guitar after the last time I tried to go bodyboarding.
I only have a couple more questions for you, but I definitely want to say thanks for taking the time to chat. It's been a really pleasure catching up with you and all that.
No.
Yeah, you know, visual...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, visuals have always been a major component of your projects, and it's been really amazing seeing the trajectory and like how you incorporate your artwork within your music. I always feel like it's really great how the visual element goes hand in hand with your projects. How did the album artwork come together for this new album? Because it is a sight to behold, honestly.
Yeah, we came across it from, Robert Sebastian, and we saw this artist from Brazil, Fernando Chamarelli, and it just really spoke to us with what the album was doing. You know, it's highly layered in lots of little tiny sections, and when you look in, you're finding something new each time you look at it, and I kind of feel like it just really encapsulated what the record was. You know, I've done lots of images for this record, and that'll actually be in things like the box set and posters and all kinds of stuff, you know, production, but we just felt that image was like perfect for it, you know. Yeah, it's beautiful, and we've really enjoyed, you know, incorporating that into all the little, you know, content and goodies that we're doing for this record. It's very colourful as well, which, again, it describes the record, you know.
It really does. And I love what you said there about how whenever you look at it, you see something different. I feel like that's one of the lasting qualities on the album for me with the times I've listened to it. Every time I listen to it, I do hear something different, which is, like, really amazing, honestly.
Mm-hmm. It happened to us. I mean, fucking hell, we mixed this record, you know what I mean? So, you know, we kind of like know its entire skeleton, you know, but it still happens. You know, we've been listening to things like, you know, the vinyl versions and things like that on different systems, and it is amazing kind of what you're, you know, what jumps out, you know, which layers you kind of hear, which lyrics you kind of hear with every new listen.
Yeah, I mean, I love those kind of records as well, you know, like I always think of Six by Manson as a favourite record in terms of that type of thing, you know, and obviously Beach Boys, Pet Sounds is a great one. These kind of moments coming in and out, you know, we've always done very dense, multi-layered records, but maybe apart from Hitch, but this one is definitely different, you know, those layers are fleeting, you know. Really enjoyed layering up in a different way this time.
Wow, yeah, that's amazing that you guys found yourselves mixing. Oh, I'm curious, where was the majority of the album made? Because I know you guys also have a home studio in Wales, yeah?
We do, yeah. Well, we were over in Utah, I suppose, by the time we finished the record. And, you know, I'd say the majority of this record was made in Utah, a little bit in North Wales, a little bit on the road. But certainly by the end, we were kind of mixing in Utah.
I think, you know, the red rocks and the it's so bright here at Science as well. I think maybe that did come into our visuals a little bit as well, you know, this colourful palette that's going on there.
Yeah.
And we had to mix this one ourselves because, you know, well, when I say had, I mean, I just kind of feel like we've crafted it. We had some, a lot of detail in the mix, in the way that we wanted things. We kind of wanted the same experimentation of the production and the making of the record to follow through in the mixing. So we kind of felt like we kind of needed to take that on board, you know, just the amount of panning and filters and movement that actually is in the mixing that I think we would have sent a third party over the edge with the actual mixing. Maybe they would have thought that we were complete busting nutters, control freaks.
Well, it's good that you're self-aware about that.
Yeah, which we are,
That's amazing. Before I let you run here, something that I wanted to ask you about, and this is a question that's a bit more for me rather than other people, but it's kind of a meta having you on this podcast series when you guys had your own podcast not too long ago, and I did listen to it. Like, what was that experience like for you having a podcast? Because that was pretty cool.
Oh, I was just thinking about this the other day, actually. I'd love to start that off again. It's just, you know, I've got so many heads on at the moment. They're trying to set everything up with the various releases we have in the box set and touring coming up. But we'd definitely like to revisit that. Yeah, we had fun, man. We like being in each other's company, first and foremost, still, you know, which is pretty incredible after 10 years of music. But,
it was a good excuse to kind of put the kettle on, lock, you know, tea, biscuits. And then, you know, we listen to a lot of music. I think we share a lot of music between us, like, naturally anyway, you know, like making playlists and kind of, you know, enjoying kind of like, you know, still the excitement of like, you know, listening to something. It doesn't have to be something entirely new, but sometimes you discover something new. Other times you go back to an old record or you discover a record that you haven't really been that familiar with. And I think we're still excited about, like, you know, telling each other, like, hey, fucking listen to the, you know, this track by Lamb Chop, or, you know, fucking listen to the new Skinny Palembe EP, you know. So that kind of was something that was quite natural in this group anyway, and having music on as we were touring. And we don't listen to a lot of music when we're recording. That would be the only time that things become a little bit quieter, but it kind of seemed very natural for us to kind of you know, share an element of that. Goes back to that spirit of, like, you know, enjoying championing things that you think are really fucking cool and good. You know.
I think that's really important these days, you know, look at how radio's gone and so forth. For me personally, it's not in a great place, and there's a lot of independent you know, less controlled guys and girls that are getting shut down, you know. So I think we've got to take that control back, and we can do anything to help that, we will. It kind of extends on what we were saying about the Erythro Singles Club, you know. It's important to, if you see something good, I think, to champion it these days, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I honestly can't thank you enough for the time and just being able to chat with you. It's been, like I mentioned before, it's been really great seeing your career grow the last couple of years. The biggest thing has been, like, for me personally, seeing how the live shows have grown, like, I can honestly say that there's not many live bands like you guys at all, and, like, I would urge anyone listening who hasn't seen you guys live to definitely see you guys live. It's truly an incredible experience, and thank you for all those amazing live show experiences. It's really been beautiful.
Aw, thank you. Very welcome.
Looking
thank
forward
you.
To more to come. Yeah,
I
can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be great to have you back in New York. Thank you so much. I really do appreciate this.
Oh, that's all. Thank you for the questions. And, yeah, hopefully we'll see you in New York in October, I think.
Yeah. It's going to be fantastic.